Welcome back. You're listening to Eye on the Outdoors award-winning radio show on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I can still remember the smell of fresh oil from my granddaddy's duck gun. And not getting a wink of sleep, waiting for the morning to come. And then there's the time my dad and I went a line down at Lake Bay. That's where he taught me to tie this knot that I still use today.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for riding through the break. Here's your host, Ray I. We have a special segment here with the Conservation Federation of Missouri. We'll be bringing you information from the Conservation Federation of Missouri weekly on our radio programming. This week, Executive Director Brandon Butler is going to interview Chris Kosmeyer and Steve Jones from the Missouri Hunters for Fair Chase. You can go to confedmo.org for more information and hear the rest of this interview. So here we go, right into the interview with Brandon Butler, Chris Kosmeyer, and Steve Jones.
The wildlife and its habitat cannot speak, so we must, and we will.
You're listening to the Conservation Federation of Missouri. Here's Executive Director Brandon Butler.
Today I'm sitting down with Missouri Hunters for Fair Chase, President Chris Kosmeyer, and Secretary Steve Jones. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you, Brandon. Good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we're really excited to cover this topic. This is a new organization that has been formed really to protect the wild deer of Missouri. If one of you wanted to jump in and give us the 30,000-foot view of Missouri Hunters for Fair Chase.
Sure. This is Chris, and Missouri Hunters for Fair Chase really has been a byproduct of an effort over the last several years by the Conservation Department to help manage and control the continued spread of CWD in Missouri. And if we backtrack to January of 2015, the Conservation Commission implemented some additional regulations to help oversee the captive servant industry. And a couple of primary regulation changes that they made were to prohibit the importation of servants into the state of Missouri, as well upon transfer of ownership of a captive servant facility to require double fencing. And so that was all in an effort to protect the native deer that those captive servant facilities have come in contact with in the past. And it really started with the initial breakout in Missouri and Macon County going back several years at this point. Those regulation changes were challenged by the captive servant industry immediately upon implementation in January of 2015, and they were granted the captive servant industry a temporary injunction prohibiting the implementation of those regulations later that summer. And so there were a group of concerned citizens that, knowing that the legal battle was going to take several years to come to fruition, because regardless of what happened in lower court, either side would most likely take it to the appellate court, and then depending on the outcome of that, most likely would end up in the Supreme Court. So a group of concerned citizens got together and formed Missouri Hunters for Fair Chase. And in Missouri, we are fortunate from a standpoint that you have the ability to constitutionally make changes to the laws in the state of Missouri through an initiative petition process. And so what we have done as we formed is created an initiative petition with the intent of being on the November 2018 ballot to allow the Missouri voters and the constituents in the state of Missouri to determine whether or not they're going to support the initiative petition that we're in the process of implementing and bringing forth. And really, that initiative petition today revolves around the same thing that the Conservation Commission tried to implement in January of 2015, and that is to establish constitutional oversight by the Conservation Commission. First and foremost, we believe that the Conservation Commission and the department should have oversight, regulatory oversight, certainly primary oversight of all big game species in the state of Missouri. And this initiative petition will, in fact, do that. And secondarily is to prohibit the further importation of big game species into the state or within the state through a grandfathered period. So our initiative, our effort, and the initiative petition itself is really circled around those two talking points, and that's the Conservation Commission oversight and the ability to prohibit further transportation of animals into the state or within the state.
So that's a very detailed explanation of where we are today. Now, we can spend a significant amount of time talking about how we got to this point. I think we got to start at ground zero. And that's the average deer hunter just doesn't understand what's going on in the captive deer industry. They probably don't even recognize the fact that there's an industry around this. When you hear about canned hunting or captive hunting, somebody will say, you know, who am I to say how somebody else hunts a deer? And they leave it at that. But they have no knowledge about the spread of devastating diseases. They have no knowledge about political shenanigans that are going on surrounding this industry and the practice of farming deer for captive killing. There's so much more to it than the average citizen even begins to understand. We're seeing continuous fights in the legislature here in Missouri, but in other states as well, North Carolina, Indiana, West Virginia. I mean, this is something that is going across the country. And many states that actually have a big industry, such as Texas, Florida, others, they've already closed their borders to the importation of live deer. And that's because this disease can spread in a trailer. If you bring a diseased deer from one herd to the next, that disease comes with it. Now, there's already regulations in place that keep us hunters from bringing in dead deer to our state from CWD endemic zones. So if you go out to Colorado and kill an elk, you can't bring that whole elk back into the state. It has to be boned out meat. So we can't bring a dead animal in, but this industry is still capable of bringing live animals in and putting at risk the entire wildlife species of white-tailed deer in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, chronic wasting disease is a potentially devastating disease for the future of wild deer. And it's the industry that is in the business of shipping these animals around on stock trailers is doing a very good job of manipulating legislatures and courts all across the country, just as they did here in Missouri, to get what they needed, which was kind of why we decided we needed to put this back in the hands of the Missouri voters, the same way that the Conservation Department was created back in 1936, and the same way we got the Design for Conservation sales tax in 76. We thought maybe it's time for the people to speak again because we knew we weren't going to get relief from the legislature and probably not from the courts. Chronic wasting disease is so complicated, but the bottom line is there's things that we absolutely do know about the disease. For one thing, it's 100% fatal. For another thing, there's no such thing as immunity, and any deer that gets it is going to die, but it doesn't show symptoms until it's already been sick for about 18 months. But during that whole time, it is contagious. It spreads the infectious agents, which are called prions. It spreads them into the soil and the environment where they persist for years, literally years, and remain infectious. That all adds up to the reason that the industry cannot safely move these animals around. They cannot know whether or not they're moving a sick animal. There is no effective live test. You can't really test them effectively until after the animal has died already. So with no effective live test, 18-month gestation before they show symptoms, it's just not possible to move these animals around without risking spreading disease, which is the very way it got to Missouri, almost certainly. The industry says things about, well, CWD's always been there, we're just finding it now because we're testing for it, which is just not correct. That is not true. In Missouri, we were testing for CWD statewide starting in 2001, and the very first positive was found inside a pen in Linn County in 2010. So they'd been testing for 9 years, over 26,000 negative CWD tests statewide, all across the state, for almost a decade. Zero CWD found. So we found it in a pen, and then we found it in another pen nearby the year after, and then the year after that, we found it in five wild Missouri deer within 2 miles of one of those pens. So, you know, they just don't make coincidences that big. It's clear. The circumstantial evidence is absolutely clear that that industry brought CWD to Missouri, and every truckload of deer they bring in risks another new outbreak. But almost certainly, if we don't get control of this disease, deer hunting is going to look very, very different for our kids or our grandkids than it looked for us. We could be looking at a very long, slow slope of population declines until possibly hunting is no longer viable, if anybody even wants to hunt a predominantly diseased herd of animals.
One of the things I think that is important for people to understand that may not have to date been a part of the containment efforts is to understand how contagious that this actually is and the challenges that come along with trying to curtail the spread of it. And so to give the listeners an understanding here in Missouri, Missouri and the conservation department's efforts to contain it. In essence, every time that there is a positive that is found, and this started in Linn County in Macon, Missouri, and several years ago, is that they implement a 25-mile radius around that point of positive. And then in donut ring style, from the point of positive, the intent and the goal is to significantly reduce the deer numbers. And then in that donut ring style, the further out that they go is still to thin the herd, but maybe not to the same degree as at the point of impact, that initial positive. And the reason for that is that the way to contain this is to limit, severely limit, the number of deer that inhabit that landscape.
So when I communicate about this issue, there's often responses, letters to the editor coming from professionals within the industry and their PR firms and stuff, questioning how we could talk about something we know nothing about, saying that you've never been on one of these deer farms. Well, how do you know I've never been on one of these deer farms? I've been on these deer farms, specifically in Michigan, been part of a rider's camp a couple of different times at one of these facilities a few years ago where it was a product shoot. And, you know, we were there for a few days and the deer were just something else to look at while you were there. Threw corn out to them, had them come up and eat corn out of your hand. Had the owner tell me, in a braggadocious way, how in one day a group would fly in and pay $25,000 for four deer and fly out. They come in, they know which deer they're going to kill before they get there. Those deer have names. They've been bottle fed, petted like a dog, and then turned over to be executed by somebody pretending to be a hunter. Well, that industry very well is impeding on your future and your children's future and your grandchildren's future to hunt the wild deer that you're going to go out and take a chance on. So don't think you're doing anybody a favor by taking that side, because they're certainly not doing you any favors.
Well, the confined killing is offensive to many, many hunters to two different degrees. I'm frankly disgusted by a lot of what goes on inside those pens. But honestly, if that industry could conduct its business without posing a threat to the wild resource, I probably wouldn't say anything about it. The real problem is that it poses a serious long-term threat to the viability of hunting wild deer in North America. And that's just the truth of the matter.
And Kristen saw this buck and he just sent a punch.
Man, it was such a good year. These are the memories that mean so much to me.
Dad, thanks for taking me home.
Spending precious time outside with the love of family. This message will be handed down for all eternity.
Oh, that is an awesome gobbler. Way to go, Jimmy Buck.
Straight down.
Arizona. We have one more duck to kill in our limits, and it's got to be a great head, and it's going to be mine.
These are the memories that mean so much to me.
Steve, anything before we close this out?
Just keep in mind that wherever you live in Missouri, this disease, even if you're not in the CWD zone, it impacts you. 41 out of our 115 counties are CWD counties. Nearly half of us live in a CWD county. About 2 out of every 5 deer taken in the state come out of a CWD county. These are huge numbers. The impact on land values and the potential for future earnings for all these rural areas that depend upon the deer hunting for their economic health, it's just overwhelming. You know, people talk about Missouri. I think the number one industry in Missouri, I believe, is agriculture. Number two is tourism. And deer hunting counts as a big part of the tourism. People moving around to different places, coming in from out of state or going to a different part of the state to deer hunt. It's just huge. And we need to be sure that it persists into the future in as healthy a way as possible. And we've got a threat standing in front of us, and we need you to help us do what we can to fight that threat.
At the end of the day, when it comes down to the economic value of white-tailed deer, take out the intrinsic values of nature and conservation and just look at the economic value of white-tailed deer in this state, and it's a $2 billion industry. You know, so when you're talking about this captive industry, I mean, it's literally just pennies on the dollar. If that doesn't move you, I don't know what else will.
Thanks a lot, guys.